Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, page 33. Indra continued, O Vritrasura, demons are generally conducted by the mode of passion. Therefore, what a great wonder it is that although you are a demon, you have adopted the mentality of a devotee and have fixed your mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, who is always situated in pure goodness. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Again, Indra became astonished. How did you, with the nature of rajas, develop fixed bhakti? Such bhakti should only arise when rajas is destroyed by the great mercy of devotees like Narada, in persons like Prahlad. Sattvatmani means a form of Shuddha Sattva. Indra continued. A person fixed in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord, Hari, the Lord of the highest auspiciousness, swims in the ocean of nectar. For him, what is the use of water in small ditches? Okay, then, Srila Prabhupada comments. There is a footnote, yes. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns this verse to Bhagavad Arkaramichimala, chapter 14, entitled Analysis of Unfavorable Conditions for Bhakti. Sorry?
Why unfavorable?
Why, what's favorable about swimming in a ditch? Yes. What is the use of water in small ditches? So that's what's unfavorable.
I just don't understand sometimes how he picks up what, which part.
Yes, so that's the thing. It's because... is here as they swim in a nectar, not in the ditch. So the ditch is the point that's being made here. You know, and others they'll be glorifying and all like this, but it says you do this, not that. So it means, so that's unfavorable. Okay. So therefore, fixing your minds on the small things instead of on Krishna, you know, the secondary items on the Krishna, that's what's unfavorable. So then an inverse of the verse was saying, therefore, then we can see from there what's the other, is what's favorable is fixing your mind on Krishna. You know, just like that. So anything favorable is showing what to avoid, and what's showing what to avoid then showing what's favorable. But it's just whether it's doing it in the positive or negative. Like that. That's why it also will look different, because both aspects will always be there. Yes. That means what do you do with those? It's just explain how it's, you know, whatever it is. He says analysis of unfavorable conditions for bhakti. You explain how it's explaining what's unfavorable. Okay. That's the. So you just want to show that you understand the principle that it's talking about. Okay. Additionally, in his Priti Sandarbha Anucheta 19, Srila Jiva Goswami refers to this verse after he writes, devotional service eclipses all kinds of liberation. Opening their throats, the scriptures loudly proclaim this truth. Sometimes liberation is offered by the Supreme Lord himself, and sometimes it is given by the Lord's personal associates.
Personal.
Yeah. In either case, liberation is eclipsed by devotional service. So therefore, the concept of liberation, you know, so these ditches are liberation and karma, karma and jnana. Right? Does that make sense? Srila Prabhupada comments, Vritrasura has formerly prayed Srimad Bhagavatam 6.11.25, Nanaka prishtam nacha pariyameshtyam nasama bhaumam na rasadhipatyam. I do not want the facilities for happiness on Brahmaloka, Swargaloka, or even Dhruvaloka, not to speak of this earth or the lower planets. I simply want to return home, back to Godhead. This is the determination of a pure devotee. Pure devotee is never attracted to any exalted position within this material world. He simply wants to associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Srimati Radharani, the gopis, Krishna's father and mother, Nanda Maharaj and Jashoda, Krishna's friends and Krishna's servants. Right? So that's, they just want to associate with Krishna. It's not about being in the spiritual world, it's about associating. That's why he's saying, I want to go back to Godhead, but that means associating Krishna. And it's not in the association of Krishna, it's not just about the activities that will be performed, which are glorious, but it's about the point of affection that is there between the Lord and the devotee. Yes?
So it's not about the situation, it's about the relationship.
Yeah.
But for example, we take guru-disciple relationship.
Right.
So we aspire to hear.
Right.
So is this not the situation? Like, on a large scale, I'm not...
How large a scale you want to make it?
Whatever you want. It's not like specific classes.
No, but it's devotional service.
It is.
So we want to be engaged in devotional service. We may have a proclivity towards this, but it's about being engaged in devotional service. Right? So it's not that just we want to hear things because then we get more things we can contemplate and everything like that. You know what I'm saying? That's you want to hear, to get, you know, knowledge or facts. But here is who we want to perform devotional service.
So it's not about the situation.
No. Because actually, if you want to look at it truly, the bigger situation is the other direction.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the bigger. The devotional service, the relationship with Krishna, that's the bigger. The situations are simply ways to express it. Though it looks big, it's actually the smaller part. Because that's the servant. That's the fun part. It's just like you have Lord Chaitanya, okay? Then you have Lord Nityananda. Then you have Sri Dvaita. Okay? Who's the youngest? Who's next? Who's the oldest? Okay. But in actuality, it's about Lord Chaitanya, who's being assisted by Nityananda, who's being assisted by Advaita.
But they make it for fun. Do they? Like for relations like that.
Yeah, I mean, the fun, meaning it's a pastime, so any taste can come from it, any rasa like that. So, you know, there's fun, there's, you know, the soberness, there's the deepness, there's the, you know, all these different flavors. That's why you're having main flavors and then they're being washed by the sanchari bhavas, which are just temporary within a more major flavor. You're going to have the mental transformations that, you know, have an effect on the physical, but they're about the mind. Then you're going to have those that are just physical transformations. Like that. So that's all happening at once. Right. That's why we don't talk about it so much. We have enough trouble just figuring out one, let alone a whole bunch of them at once. So, Yes. But we're getting to that. When we get to Chaitanya Charitamrita, we'll revisit. So the last three chapters of Nectar Devotion and those last chapters of Riyad Bhagavatamrita, like Jagadharma, yes. So we'll revisit. Because then at that time, it'll start to make sense. Yeah, eventually. A pure devotee is never... Okay. These are the highest ambitions of a devotee of Krishna. Devotees of Lord Vishnu may aspire for a position in Vaikuntha Loka, but a devotee of Krishna never aspires even for the facilities of Vaikuntha. He wants to return to Goloka Vrindavan and associate with Lord Krishna in his eternal pastimes. Any material happiness is like water in a ditch, whereas the spiritual happiness enjoyed in the spiritual world is like an ocean of nectar in which a devotee wants to swim. Right. And when we're saying water in a ditch, we generally means a dirty ditch, right? Because ditches generally, huh?
Indian.
Yes, generally ditches mean, yeah. Yes. Verses 23 to 35. Vritrasura's glorious death. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Vritrasura and King Indra spoke about devotional service even on the battlefield. And then, as a matter of duty, they again began fighting, right? So there, as devotees, they're talking devotional service, so they're very inspired there. But because they have their duties, then they go back to their duties. My dear king, both of them were great fighters and were equally powerful. O Maharaj Parikit, Vritrasura, who was completely able to subdue his enemy, took his iron club, whirled it around and aimed it at Indra, and then threw it at him with his left hand. Right, so here's where he throws it. Right, previously he just held it and hit him with it. With his thunderbolt named Shataparvan, Indra simultaneously cut to pieces Vritrasura's club and his remaining hand. Because Shata means 1,000, right? So therefore it must have all these different aspects to it. You know, there are 1,000, because thunderbolts, you see, they go out in multiple directions. So he's able to do both at once, cut off his arm and stop the club. Vritrasura, bleeding profusely, his two arms cut off at their roots, looked very beautiful, like a flying mountain whose wings have been cut to pieces by Indra. Because before Indra, all the mountains, they'd be sitting there. And then if they decided they wanted to fly off someplace, they'd fly off. Because they're big and all that, and they don't have eyes on the bottom, then they would just land on top of cities or in fields where people are, you know, how you say, growing things like this. So then Indra went and cut off their wings, so they couldn't fly around. Right? Yeah, so he looked like that. The lakes were flying. That would be a real problem. Go out to take your bath in the morning and the lake's gone. Yeah, then you gotta get a tour, yeah. Vritrasura is very powerful in physical strength and influence. He placed his lower jaw on the ground and his upper jaw in the sky. His mouth became very deep, like the sky itself, and his tongue resembled a large serpent. With his fearful, death-like teeth, he seemed to be trying to devour the entire universe. Thus assuming a gigantic body, the great demon Vritrasura shook even the mountains and began crushing the surface of the earth with his legs, as if he were the Himalayas walking about. He came before Indra and swallowed him and Airavata, his carrier, just as a big python might swallow an elephant. That's a big python. When the demigods, along with Brahma, other Prajapatis, and other great saintly persons, saw that Indra had been swallowed by the demon, they became very morose. Alas, they lamented, what a calamity. What a calamity. The protective armor of Narayan, which Indra possessed, was identical with Narayana himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Protected by that armor and by his own mystic power, King Indra, although swallowed by Vritrasura, did not die within the demon's belly. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments. Protected by the Narayana Kavacha, Maha Purushena, and his power gained through Astanga Yoga, he did not die. He remained invisible, Maya, in the form of air by the power of invisibility. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, with his thunderbolt, like his air moves around quite fine in the body. Right? It's not a problem. So he then, therefore, in the form of air, then he was inside. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, With his thunderbolt, King Indra, who was also extremely powerful, pierced through Vritrasura's abdomen and came out. Indra, the killer of the demon Bala, then immediately cut off Vritrasura's head, which was as high as the peak of a mountain. Although the thunderbolt revolved around Vritrasura's neck with great speed, separating his head from his body took one complete year, 360 days, the time in which the sun, moon, and other luminaries complete a northern and southern journey. Then, at the suitable time for Vritrasura to be killed, his head fell to the ground. That will be discussed later. But he did. So Indra thought, you know, he's killed him, but no, he, by his mystic yoga, left already.
And when you say that the one full 2 years, it's our years, it's like one day?
That means, yes, it'll be one of our years.
Not theirs.
No, it's 360 days. No, it doesn't seem to be, because it says, which the sun, moon, and other luminaries complete a northern and southern journey, so that would indicate ours. Right, because a northern and southern journey is one day for them. So it doesn't say 360 of those days. It's three, it says 360
yes,
of these days. Yeah. Yeah, so the time, so 360 days, the sun goes through the northern and southern journey, right? Through the Uttarayana and Dakshinayana. So that would be one of our years. But still, that's a long time. You know, take a whole day to cut someone's head off.
You know, but
yeah, but no, still it's that long time. You know, and even though the Sudarshan is very fast, I mean the Vajra is very fast, it still took so much time because it is, you know, his power, his greatness, and everything like that. When Vritrasura was killed, the Gandharvas and Siddhas and the heavenly planets beat kettle drums in jubilation. With Vedic hymns, they celebrated the prowess of Indra, the killer of Vritrasura, praising Indra and showering flowers upon him with great pleasure. O King Parikit, subduer of enemies, the living spark then came forth from Vritrasura's body and returned home back to Godhead. While all the demigods looked on, he entered the transcendental world to become an associate of Lord Shankarshan. So that was of the, you know, 24 Vaikuntha Murtis, then Shankarshan. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur concludes, when Vritrasura swallowed Indra and his elephant, he thought, there is no one else to kill me. Why do I not give up my body by the power of yoga and quickly go to the side of the Lord? He then entered into samadhi. At that moment, Indra tore open the abdomen of Vritrasura, who was unconscious, came out and cut his head off. This should be understood from the comparison of cutting off a mountain peak. His manifested spiritual body, Atmajyoti, became separated from his gross body and then attained the Vaikuntha of Sankarsana beyond the material world, Alokam. Because he swallowed him, then he thought, okay, he's finished. So now there's no one to kill him. So then he just went into trance, into samadhi. Right? So then Vritrasura wasn't even aware of that he had come out. Important verses. 6:12:9. Ojas saho balam pranam amritam ritum evacha tam agyaya jano hetum atmanam manyate jaram. Our sensory prowess, mental power, bodily strength, living force, immortality, and mortality are all subject to the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not knowing this, foolish people think the dull material body to be the cause of their activities. Right? So everything is actually coming from Krishna. But generally we think that what we do is our arrangement. Right? It means it's sanctioning what we're interested to do, but actually it comes from Krishna himself. Right? Vritrasura. Srimad Bhagavatam 6:12:10. Yata daru mayi nari, yata patra mayo mriga. Evam bhutani maghavan nisha tantrani vidhibho. O King Indra, as a wooden doll that looks like a woman or as an animal made of grass and leaves cannot move or dance independently, but depends fully on the person who handles it, All of us dance according to the desire of the Supreme Controller, the Personality of Godhead. No one is independent. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.12.14. Tasmat Akirti Yashasor Jaya Pajayayor Api Samasyat Sukha Sukhabhyam Mrityu Jivitayos Tata. Since everything is dependent on the supreme will of the Personality of Godhead, one should be equiposed in fame and defamation, victory and defeat, life and death. In their effects, represented as happiness and distress, one should maintain oneself in equilibrium without anxiety. Dhritarasura. And Srimad Bhagavatam 6.12.15. Satvam rajas tama iti prakriter natamo guna tatra sakshinam atmanam yo veda sana bhadyate. One who knows that the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are not qualities of the soul but qualities of material nature, and who knows that the pure soul is simply an observer of the actions and reactions of these qualities, should be understood to be a liberated soul. He is not bound by these qualities. So not being bound by them, therefore he doesn't have to function, you know, under them. But the point is that the modes are how things work in this world. So working with the modes, then one engages in devotional service. Right? Does that make sense? So these are the qualities of the body and its environment. Does this make sense? So since one's just observer, then whatever it is, that's what you engage. Right? You don't have to engage something else. Does that make sense? So since we don't identify with it, we can't say we're not the body and then say we're Westerners, we can't do all this Vedic stuff. You know what I'm saying? The two don't go together. Because if we're not this body, then we're the soul. We're not under the mode. So we can't say, well, I'm a Westerner. Because we're under the modes. We're not liberated. We're not looking at it in this way. We're not an observer. But if we're an observer, then we see we're not, but the body is. But the body doesn't decide, you know, the cultural aspects and everything. That's us. Does that make sense? Uh-huh, getting fancy. Okay, the subtle body, yes, but the subtle body has only chosen that because of the particular thing. It's just like this. Okay, let us say you have one gentleman, right? And he wears black shoes, black pants, and a very long black coat, right? He also has a long beard. And he also has a how you say? Very extended sideburns. Okay? And this hat that he wears is a monster hat that's made out of fur. Okay? Now, somehow or another, even though one is from this cold environment in that particular place where there's just potatoes and cabbages, he and his family move down to the Mediterranean. And he's fine. Yes. That's another thing. But we're talking about that it's just a matter of the mind, it'll adjust to anything. It's a matter of what do we want. If we want to enjoy, the mind will look for what enjoyments it's used for, what's available. If we want to be involved in what's favorable for Krishna, then we accept that. So it means that that's how we're not the body. But it doesn't mean that the body can act outside of what it can do in the way of duties. But these little cultural things, those, it really doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? We make a big deal out of it. Right? This means people from Europe shift over to America and then give it some time and then, oh, they can't, you know, they can't function with all these European things. How does that work? You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is, or you have Americans, hey, go over to Europe or other places in the world, and they adjust with the culture there, and they're fine.
Imagine
Yeah, amazing, isn't it? Like that. So that's the... Okay, so he's not bound by these qualities. It doesn't mean he doesn't work with the qualities, but he's not bound by them. But if we say, no, I'm from here, we have to function, then we're bound by those qualities. We're not free. Right? Okay. Then, okay. Then chapter 13. King Indra afflicted by sinful reaction. Pratigya. The sages encourage King Indra to kill Vritrasura even at the risk of Brahmahatya, the killing of a Brahman, and they guarantee to release him from sinful reactions by performing an Ashwamedha Yajna. Such purposely devised atonement, however, cannot relieve the performer of sinful acts. Right? You think, I'll do this and then I'll do the atonement. That doesn't work. One gets carried away by the modes of nature and then one does atonement. That has more of an effect. Right? It doesn't remove the desire seeds. Yes. He could. That's in one sense, yes. In another sense, they could have worked something else out.
Insult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that. Yes, they insult him, and then he's killed. Like that.
You know. Means kill the followers. Sages.
Yeah, well, it doesn't mean that they all don't get some reaction. Yeah?
My point, if they get it further, if you follow somebody and that somebody was mistaken when he advised you to do, you get a good reaction for following the authority and a good reaction for their mistake?
Partially being involved in it. In other words, at least the situation. You know, if you in all the sincerity were thinking that you're doing the right thing and thou that, and you know, with their authority, then like that, you get that benefit of following. Like that. So they will basically, you know. Yes. But at the same time, as, you know, Indra's not exactly, you know, transcendentally situated. It means it's like already, basically, within a few days, he's already killed 3 Brahmins. You know, you know, so he's got a problem. The Pratigya of this chapter is taken from Srila Prabhupada's purport to verses 8 and 9, where he also writes, the Lord's holy name certainly has the potency to neutralize all sinful activities. But if one repeatedly and intentionally commits sins while chanting the holy name, he is most condemned. This is further explained in the purport to verse 10. The planned execution of sinful deeds on the strength of chanting the holy name of the Lord or undergoing prayaschitta, atonement cannot give relief to anyone, even to Indra. Right? You can't plan it like that. One takes shelter of the holy name, but one doesn't plan. Chapter 13 summarizes questions and answers. Maharaj Parikit asked Sukadeva Goswami questions 613 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Question 613. Srimad Bhagavatam 613.3. Maharaj Parikit inquired from Sukadeva Goswami, O great sage, what was the reason for Indra's unhappiness? I wish to hear about this. When he killed Vritrasura, all the demigods were extremely happy. Why then was Indra himself unhappy? Right. Pretty standard. The answer to this question is initially given in the next verse and then elaborated on throughout the chapter. Sri Sukadeva Goswami answered, when all the great sages and demigods were disturbed by the extraordinary power of Vritrasura, they had assembled to ask Indra to kill him. Indra, however, being afraid of killing a brahmana, declined their request. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.13.4. Right, because he's the son of Tvashta. So that means he's a brahmin. Maybe a demon, but he's a brahmin. Right? You know, he'd already killed his brother. Right? And that was the problem. So then here's it again. Right? King Indra asked the assembled sages question 6.14 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.13.5. King Indra replied, when I killed Vishwarup, I received extensive sinful reactions, but I was favored by the women, land, trees, and water, and therefore I was able to divide the sin among them. But now if I killed Vritrasura, another brahmana, how shall I free myself from the sinful reactions? This question is answered in the next few verses, wherein the Rishi suggests that Indra perform an Ashwamedha Yajna. The rhetorical question asked by the sages does not fall under this study. Adhyaya Prakashika. The 13th chapter describes how Indra, fearing the reaction from killing a brahmana, lived in the stem of a lotus at Manasarovar and later attained relief by performing a horse sacrifice. When all the demigods requested Indra to kill Vritrasura, he refused because Vritrasura was a brahmana. The demigods, however, encouraged Indra not to fear killing him because Indra is protected by the Narayana Kavacha, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Lord Narayana. Even by a glimpse of the chanting of Narayana's name, one becomes free from all the sinful reactions of killing a woman, a cow, or a brahmana. The demigods advised Indra to perform an Ashwamedha sacrifice, by which Narayana would be pleased. For the performer of such a sacrifice is not implicated in sinful reactions. Even if he kills the entire universe. Mm-hmm. Yes.
According to which shastra is that?
I'm not sure. It's mentioning it here. You know, this must be, these would be in shastras, probably in brahmanas and stuff that describe all these shrauta yajnas and that. There's probably some glory there, maybe some other puranas.
Because that's what Prabhupada in the beginning says about the thanks for the holy name.
This one thing is once done, like Yudhishthira Maharaj, and he did 3 Ashwamedha yajnas. But it wasn't that he think we'll have this war, kill everybody, and then we'll do Ashwamedha yajnas. He performed.
Huh?
Yes, yeah, so it's definitely not going to be great for devotional service. Following this instruction from the demigods, King Indra fought Vritrasura. But when Vritrasura was killed, everyone is satisfied by King Indra, who knew Vritrasura's position. This is the nature of a great personality. Even if a great personality acquires some opulence, he is always ashamed and regretful if he acquires it illegally. Indra could understand that he had certainly entangled by sinful reactions for killing a brahmana. Indeed, he could see sinful reaction personified following him. Thus he fled here and there in fear, thinking of how to rid himself of his sins. He went to Manasarova, and there, under the protection of the goddess of fortune, he meditated for 1,000 years. During this time, Nahusha reigned over the heavenly planets as a representative of Indra. Unfortunately, however, he was attracted by the beauty of Indra's wife, Sachi Devi, and because of his sinful desire, he had to accept the body of a serpent in his next life. Indra later performed a great sacrifice with the help of exalted Brahmins and saints. In this way, he was released from the reactions of a sinful killing of a Brahmin. Getting confused. Shloka Anusharanam. Summary verses. Verses 1 to 9. Indra reluctantly kills Vritrasura. 10 to 23. Indra is afflicted by sinful reactions. Verses 1 to 9. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, O King Parikit, who are so charitably disposed, when Vritrasura was killed, all the presiding deities and everyone else in the 3 planetary systems was immediately pleased and freed from trouble. Everyone, that is, except Indra. Thereafter, the demigods, the great saintly persons, the inhabitants of Pitri Loka and Bhuta Loka, the demons, the followers of the demigods, and also Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the demigods subordinate to Indra, all returned to their respective homes. While departing, however, no one spoke to Indra. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur elaborates. Indra was not fit to return to his abode. The moment he killed Vritrasura, he became distressed at killing a brahmana. Thus, though the verse says that Indra returned home, he actually went to Manasarova, then performed a horse sacrifice, and finally returned home. That should be understood by the word tata afterwards. Maharsh Parikit inquired from Sukadev Goswami, O great sage, what was the reason for Indra's unhappiness? I wish to hear about this. When he killed Vritrasura, all the demigods were extremely angry. Happy. Why then was Indra himself unhappy? Srila Prabhupada comments, "This, of course, is a very intelligent question. When a demon is killed, certainly all the demigods are happy. In this case, however, when all the demigods were happy because of Ritrasura's having been killed, Indra was unhappy. Why? It may be suggested that Indra was unhappy because he knew that he had killed a great devotee in Brahmana. Ritrasura outwardly appeared to be a demon, but inwardly he was a great devotee and therefore a great Brahmana. Herein it is clearly indicated that a person who is not at all demoniac, such as Prahlad Maharaj and Balimraj, may outwardly be a demon or be born in a demigod or born in a family of demons. Therefore, in terms of real culture, one should not be considered a demigod or demon simply according to birth. In his dealings while fighting with Indra, Ritrasura proved himself a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Furthermore, as soon as he finished fighting with Indra and was apparently killed, Ritrasura was transferred to Vaikuntha to become an associate of Sankarsana. Indra knew this, and therefore he was morose at having killed such a demon who was actually a Vaishnava or a Brahmana. A Vaishnava is already a Brahmana, although a Brahmana may not be a Vaishnava. The Padma Purana said, Sat karma nipano vipro mantra tantra visharadha. A Vaishnava guror nasyat Vaishnava swap pacho guru. One may be a Brahmana in terms of his culture and family, and may be expert in Vedic knowledge, mantra tantra visharadha. But if he is not a Brahmana, he cannot be a guru. Oh, if he's not a Vaishnava, he cannot be a guru. This means that an expert Brahmana may not be a Vaishnava. But a Vaishnava is already a Brahmana. A millionaire may very easily possess hundreds and thousands of dollars, but a person with hundreds and thousands of dollars is not necessarily a millionaire. Ritrasura was a perfect Vaishnava, and therefore he was also a Brahmana. Just because you have the money doesn't mean you're wealthy. You know, like let's say those guys, you know, they wheel the money into the bank vault. So they're moving millions, but they're not millionaires. Sri Sukadeva Goswami answered, when all the great sages and demigods were disturbed by the extraordinary power of Ritrasura, they had assembled to ask Indra to kill him. Indra, however, being afraid of killing a Brahmana, declined their request. For King Indra replied, when I killed Vishwaroop, I received extensive sinful reactions. But I was favored by the women, land, trees, and water, and therefore I was able to divide the sin among them. But now if I killed Ritrasura, another Brahmana, how shall I free myself from the sinful reactions? Right, because there he just killed him. Then afterwards worked on an atonement. Problem here is that they're trying to go through the process of beforehand work out. Right?
What was the reason for the sages and demigods to disturb that a part of the traffic?
Because he's disturbing the universe. So he's upsetting the balance there. He's coming with all the hordes of demons and they're coming to attack Indra. So naturally not ideal.
It was actually because of the previous reaction to say. This was actually because Prastha became this one. Because generally, this situation is created by Ritrasura being a demon. This was all because of something previous. So they cannot blame on Ritrasura himself.
No, but the point is he's coming and he's acting in that role of the enemy of Indra.
So in this chapter, in this theme, we are just concentrating on the current. At a particular situation, whether it is unfavorable still or a...
As opposed to?
As opposed to, in general, when in devotional service, when you are acting, the situations also follow.
Yeah. I don't catch what's the difference.
Because, in general, somebody expects a devotee means he doesn't cause any troubles to them.
But his duty is as an enemy of Indra. Ritrasura is performing his duty. He's an enemy of Indra. So then what's he supposed to do?
Because he's doing the whole the great sages.
Universe getting disturbed, that's another thing. His business is with Indra. Right? But it so happens that, you know, it's a disturbance in the universe. Right? Because Indra's not supposed to be, you know, attacked. You know, the demons do that, but technically he's not supposed to be. See, the point is you have to ask a specific question if you want a specific answer.
It's like the Vritrasura being like taking the revenge of his father, for his father on behalf of his father, but during that situation is disturbing the other sages and everyone, like they are also disturbed who are performing there.
But why not? If Indra and all the demigods are being disturbed, why wouldn't everybody else get disturbed?
They're being disturbed because they're disturbed.
See, your question is, okay, Indra and the demigods get disturbed because the demons come, but why would that bother the sages? Right?
Yes.
Ask that question. Because they're connected with the demigods and all that, because they're the Brahmins that are in his court, or the sages in the universe and stuff like that. So there is a universal order, it should go on. Right? It doesn't mean that some Brahmin in the Himalayas, you know, doing yoga practice is disturbed.
These are those who connected to the demigods.
Must be, but I'm saying, what's the importance of that? You know what I'm saying? Why focus on that part? Means what will you do with that part? You're wondering if next time you're sitting in the temple chanting your japa in front of Radha Govinda and there's a, you know, some disturbance, then whether you should be disturbed or whether not, or what?
Yeah, because like we too land up in such situations in general, like sometimes a particular devotee comes and in a devotional circle because of his some kind of nature or situation, he causes disturbance to many other people also.
Yeah.
And
so, so what's the problem then? So that means you still haven't asked your question. You know what I'm saying? Because it's still not clear what you want to say. So think about it, and then.
Yeah.
Okay, Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, hearing this, the great sages replied to King Indra, O King Indra, all good fortune unto you. Do not fear. We shall perform an Ashwamedha sacrifice to release you from any sin you may accrue by killing the Brahmana. The rishis continued, O King Indra, by performing an Ashwamedha sacrifice and thereby pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul, Lord Narayana, the Supreme Controller, one can be relieved even of the sinful reactions of killing the entire world, not to speak of killing a demon like Vritrasura. One who has killed a Brahmana, one who has killed a cow, or one who has killed his father, mother, or spiritual master, can be immediately freed from all sinful reactions simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Narayana. Other sinful persons, such as dog-eaters and chandalas, who are less than Shudras, can be freed in this way. But you are a devotee, and we shall help you by performing the great horse sacrifice. If you please Lord Narayana in that way, why should you be afraid? You'll be freed even if you killed the entire universe, including the Brahmanas, not to speak of killing a disturbing demon like Vritrasura. Srila Prabhupada comments. In the Prema Vivarta by Jagannanda Pandit, it is said, Eka Krishna Nama Papira Jato Papa Kshai Bahu Janme Se Papi Karite Narai. This means that by once chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can be freed from the reactions of more sins than he can even imagine performing. The holy name is so spiritually potent that simply by chanting the holy name, one can be freed from the reactions of all sinful activities. What then is to be said of those who chant the holy name regularly, or worship the deity regularly? For such purified devotees, freedom from sinful reaction is certainly assured. This does not mean, however, that one should intentionally commit sinful acts and think himself freed from the reactions because he is chanting the holy name. Such a mentality is a most abominable offense at the lotus feet of the holy name. Namno balad yasya hi papa buddhi. The Lord's holy name certainly has the potency to neutralize all sinful activities. But if one repeatedly and intentionally commits sins while chanting the holy name, he is most condemned. Herein, the sages encourage Indra to kill Vritrasura even at the risk of Brahmahatya, the killing of a Brahmana, and they guarantee to release him from the sinful reactions by performing an Ashwamedha Yajna. Such purposely devised atonement, however, cannot relieve the performer of sinful acts. This will be seen from the following verse. So even though they said, then Prabhupada is pointing out, it's not going to work. Right? So you don't have to worry.
Okay. Yes. I'm worried for Indra because listening to the sages.
Aha!
They didn't know what they were talking about.
So he should have stuck to listening to Vritrasura.
Yes.
Yes. Verses 10 to 23. Indra is afflicted by sinful reactions. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, encouraged by the words of the sages, Indra killed Vritrasura. And when he was killed, the sinful reaction for killing a Brahmana, Brahmahatya, certainly took shelter of Indra. He did it. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. When Vritra was killed, Tasmin Hate, the sin fell upon Indra, Vrisha Kapim, because of committing sin on the strength of atonement. The reaction was very strong. Without experiencing suffering, the atonement would not give relief by itself. Therefore, they did not perform the horse sacrifice for Indra immediately. The sages, because of advising him to commit the sin on the strength of the atonement, also suffered misfortune, the result of the offense, for a long time. This suffering came from Nahusha, who took over Indra's post.
Okay.
Because Nahusha had these sages carrying around his palanquin. It didn't mean it worked out for Nahusha either, but, you know. In other words, there's a chain reaction here, right? You know, father comes home, he's upset, says something to mom says something to brother, he says to sister, they go kick the cat, right? You know, like that. Yeah. Yes. So you want to know, on the other planets, the ladies have the same problem? I don't know. I can't say.
Probably not, they would have killed him for that.
No, but they got a good benediction. Yeah, they don't need the benediction, right? Okay. So they didn't do the horse sacrifice immediately. One, because he was affected by sinful reaction, and two, they were also.
He was also hiding.
Well, that's part of the sinful reaction. He's hiding from the sin, but to do that, he must. You know, it's just like, I think it was Shani. Then you know, it was time to sati sati.
Yes.
So then it was with Hanuman. So he came. And then Hanuman, I think, jumped into the Ganga or someplace so that he couldn't bother him. And then after the time was over, he came out. And he said, see, I got away. He says, no. He says, you had to stay in the water. It may have not been so direct, but it was, you know, so even though maybe the sin of killing a Brahmin didn't directly bother him, he still had to hide in a lotus stem for 1,000 years, you know. So that's something.
Can we say that sometimes we are more afraid of their reaction than the actual reaction is? But the fear always precedes the action or something? And we suffer because
it can be. It means you can be, but I don't know if it's... It's not that the Brahmahatya is a small thing. It's the worst of all offenses. And if it's done on purpose, that actually there is no atonement.
we didn't do it on purpose. We followed those sages.
Just, he was just that innocent guy. He was just willing to, you know, render service to them all day, and these nasty sages, and you know, he was quite happy to, you know, I'm sure, see, as he most likely would have been happy to kill the Asura, you know, to maintain the pleasantries in the heavenly planets, but he was worried about the sinful reaction, since that had already happened once with his brother.
My point is that this group, he was really uncontrolled, so he was just angry and he cut his head.
Yes.
So it was very severe, and that was the Brahmin. He was not a demon.
Yes.
Now this demon, he was ready to kill him in one sense, but then when they started the dialogue and the preaching, he actually realized that it was not a good idea, and he was already into
No, but this is before it happened he said this, that he's worried about killing a Brahmin, because there'll be a Brahmin, because he's the son of Tvashta.
So he's worried, he's not like...
He's already worried, and then afterwards, then, you know, there's...
He's more worried.
Yeah, he's more worried. Because, you know, because before it was just a Brahmana, then he finds out that he's actually a great Vaishnava, so that makes it even more.
So I'm just saying that the second one is actually... Indra was more apprehensive than the first one.
Yes, yes. Well, the first one, he was just overcome by his emotions. So he wasn't... But this one is that, then beforehand, then he could think about it a bit. You know, since it didn't go so well last time. Srila Prabhupada adds, after killing Vritrasura, Indra could not surpass the Brahmahatya, the sinful reactions of killing a Brahmana. Formerly he had killed one Brahmana, Vishwarup, out of circumstantial anger, but this time, following the advice of the sages, he killed another Brahman purposely, right? Because circumstantially you actually can free yourself. It's very severe, but you can free yourself. But purposely, there is actually no atonement. Manu says that clearly.
But we just said the opposite.
Means? No, that's what the sages said. Then, as pointed out, it didn't work. Such purposeful devised atonement, however, cannot relieve the performer of sinful acts. This will be seen from the following verse. So the sages are saying. But Prabhupada's saying, no, that won't work. Therefore, the sinful reaction was greater than before. Indra could not be relieved from the reaction simply by performing sacrifices for atonement. He had to undergo a severe series of sinful reactions, and when he was freed by such suffering, the Brahmanas allowed him to perform the horse sacrifice. So even if it's there, they didn't say he wouldn't have to undergo atonement. He just said that they could perform the Ashwamedha sacrifice. So then you also have that point, is that it will be there, but it will be afterwards, after he suffers the reaction. And then they'll free him from it. Does that make sense? So as it is there. And in the meantime, the sages were engaged also, you know, and it wasn't working out so great.
And that was the Brahma, Kandiya Brahma?
It may be. It may be, or just, you know, yeah. It's just somehow or another, the mentality came up. Right? Because the whole point was to bring Vritrasura back to Godhead. Right? And show the glories of the Vaishnavas and all that, and how the greatness and specialness of the demigods isn't as actually that special. Right, the material positions that they have. Here's a demon, he doesn't even want, you know, Brahmaloka, you know, Indra's position, Dhruvaloka, he just wants to go to the spiritual world.
Jiva Goswami is saying the same point.
Sorry?
Jiva Goswami says the same point.
He'll say
Indra
the same.
Is not at fault, because Lord ordered to him to kill.
Okay.
And Lord wanted that.
Yes.
Vritrasura to come back.
Yes. So that's there. But at the same time is, you know, he's taking part, but you see, if it was just to please the Lord, that would be one thing. But he's doing all these things because he wants the benefits of doing that. Though the Lord is there, so the thing will work out. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem with mixed devotional service. You get a mixed reaction. Milieu of, how you say, various flavors. The planned execution of sinful deeds on the strength of chanting the holy name of the Lord or undergoing prayaschitta, atonement, cannot give relief to anyone, even to Indra or Nahusha. Nahusha was officiating for Indra, while Indra, absent from heaven, was going here and there to gain release from his sinful reactions. No, he was a king on earth. And because Indra was gone, they needed somebody to manage. So in those days, many times the kings on earth were so pious and so powerful, they would come up to help the demigods. So in this case, they had him be, you know, be Indra. Because they all have their duties, and the sages, they have theirs. So they need someone to specifically do that. So they had Nahusha come.
Because
of pride. Yeah, no, we just take this as all pretty standard. If anything happens here, then. Because the point is this, what's the difference? You know, can you call up a friend? Did you hear? You know, Nahusha did this, and then.
Again, you don't have a phone.
Huh?
No Facebook, no phones.
Yeah, that's the point, is that this is just, you know, the Shastra. But if we hear someone did this or that, then, you know, we have some gossip to talk about. Well, this isn't gossip, so. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. Following the advice of the demigods, Indra killed Dhritarasura, and he suffered because of this sinful killing. Although the other demigods were happy, he could not derive happiness from the killing of Dhritarasura. Indra's other good qualities, such as tolerance and opulence, could not help him in his grief. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, why could a person with qualities like determination not be happy? Those qualities cannot give happiness to a person who has done a shameful act and is criticized for killing a brahmana. Right, so even though you have good qualities to do all kinds of nice things, the people are criticizing for having done something not proper. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore, even you have all the good qualities, you still can't be happy. You can do things, but people will just talk about what you've done wrong. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, Indra saw personified sinful reactions chasing him, appearing like a Chandala woman, a woman of the lowest class. She seemed very old and all the limbs of her body trembled. Because she was afflicted with tuberculosis, her body and garments were covered with blood, breathing an unbearable fishy odor that polluted the entire street. She called to Indra, wait, wait. Because that's the reaction of killing a Brahmin. It's one of them is tuberculosis. That's also, you know, are you saying? Spending one's time where there's more sand than anything else and tuberculosis, these are standard kind of reactions. Indra first fled to the sky, but there also he saw the woman of personified sin chasing him. This witch followed him wherever he went. At last, he very quickly went to the northeast and entered the Manasarova Lake. Always thinking of how he could be relieved from the sinful reactions for killing a brahmana, King Indra, invisible to everyone, lived in the lake for 1,000 years in the subtle fibers of the stem of a lotus. The fire god used to bring him his share of all the yajnas. But because the fire god was afraid to enter the water, Indra was practically starving. So he'd bring them, but he couldn't enter the water, so you know, didn't work out. And I guess he couldn't come out, he'd be seen, so. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. He lived unseen in the fibers of the lotus stem. He did not get any food because the messenger of Agni did not deliver his share of the sacrifices since he could not enter the water, right? Fire, if he enters water, then there's no fire. So how can Jatavedas, he delivers the share in the yajna. Right? There's a mantra when you're installing that may the Jata Vedas carry this offering to, you know, who it's offered to. Right? So we offer it to Krishna, so he carries to Krishna. Right? But here, the offerings to Indra, you know, he would carry them to bring to Indra, but since he's in the water, he can't enter the water, so therefore then he's starved. Right? It is not difficult for Agni to enter water since he delivers to Varuna his share, although he is also situated in the water. However, this water was difficult to enter because the followers of Shiva were guarding it. And thus, the sin of killing a Brahmin, which followed him everywhere, could not enter the water. He remained invisible to all people for 1,000 years. Okay. So, technically he could enter the water, but then the problem comes that Shiva's people were guarding it so that... the effect of killing a Brahmin, sin of killing a Brahmin didn't enter, so then he couldn't enter.
Agni is not that sacred.
It's part of, I guess, just the atonement, right? Living in a lotus stem for 1,000 years and not eating, right? How do you fit in the lotus stem, right? You know, you don't eat for 1,000 years, you get skinny enough, you fit in quite well. No, he's Indra, he's immortal, so he won't die. You know, immortal means on the demigod level, so he won't die. So. But you probably won't see it in cosmos, you know, the 1,000-year fast, you know, for losing weight, right? You know, that's for wearing the -10 dress, right? Very thin coffin. Yeah. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, as long as King Indra lived in the water, wrapped in the stem of the lotus, Nahusha was equipped with the ability to rule the heavenly kingdom due to his knowledge, austerity, and mystic power. Nahusha, however, blinded and maddened by power and opulence, made undesirable proposals to Indra's wife with a desire to enjoy her. Thus, Nahusha was cursed by a brahmana and later became a snake. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, Tri Nakam means Swarga. How can a human rule Swarga? Nahusha was endowed with knowledge, austerity, and yogic power. This means he was capable of enlisting all powers and he was capable of protecting Swarga. Why then did Indra again rule Swarga? Nahusha's intelligence became blind because of pride in his wealth. He had to take a snake's body because of Indra's wife. Nahusha one time spoke to Indra's wife, I am now Indra, therefore you should serve me. When he told her this, she spoke to Brihaspati. He said, tell him that you will worship him if he comes carried by brahmanas. Then he will fall down because of a brahmana's curse. She informed Nahusha, and he came, carried by Agastya and other sages, saying, go quickly, Sarpa. Nahusha touched Agastya with his foot. He was then cursed by the angry sage and became a snake, Sarpa. Right? Because snakes go quickly. So Sarpa, Sarpa, quick, quick. And so they said, okay, you're telling us to be, you know, be snake. You become the snake. Because, see, Agastya is smaller than the others. He's only the size of a thumb. So if you have your palanquin carried by, you know, the sages and Agastya, then it's going to be leaning very uncomfortably. And at what speed can they move? At Agastya's speed, so he's going very slow because he's only that big, right? You know, and so then they're moving along. So you know, he's taking his nice steps. He's carrying a palanquin, but at this space, you know, and it's not like, you know, you're living in Amsterdam on the Indra's planet there that everything is packed in there or something. There's nice spaces between and gardens and, you know, roads and all this. So therefore, to get from wherever he was to wherever. Sati was going to take forever, literally. You know, and maybe add a day to that, right? You know, so it was he was not happy because of he lost his patience and like that, you know.
So he didn't make it to her?
No, he didn't. He didn't make it there because that was the whole point. Because he had said this, and so then she's disturbed, so he said, okay. Then she asked Brihaspati. She just said, tell him, okay, if you're carried by the Brahmins. One, you have to be crazy to have the Brahmins carry you. You know? It's another thing if it was for something, you know, religious or something. But this is just because you want to go meet Indra's wife. Right? So really, you know, getting out of line here. So, but in other words, in this case, no one's going to side with Nahusha. Right? Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, right? So it appears that these brahmanas that carried him were the brahmins who were giving the advice. So then they had to, you know, in other words, be insulted or suffer in this way. Because they're brahmins, that doesn't happen. So even though it's not like Indra, but it's still, it's not good. Right. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Indra's sins were diminished by the influence of Rudra, the demigod of all directions. Because Indra was protected by the goddess of fortune, Lord Vishnu's wife, who resides in the lotus clusters of Manasarovar Lake, Indra's sins could not affect him. Indra was ultimately relieved of all the reactions of his sinful deeds by strictly worshipping Lord Vishnu. Then he was called back to the heavenly planets by the Brahmins and reinstated in his position. So he actually became purified not by the Ashwamedha Yajna, but by worshipping Vishnu. Right, so by Shiva's grace, then he's protected from the sins, right? So Shiva's by, you know, giving up the false ego and everything like that. That's by Shiva's grace. Then by Lakshmi's grace, he's engaged in the Lord's service, right? And so then that's what purified him. So what we can see is that he actually became purified because it was not planned. The Ashwamedha Yajna was planned. That didn't work. So this was unplanned. Does that make sense? This prayaschitta. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's why it works.
Yeah. But it's only not good if you plan to commit a sin and then do prayaschitta. For example, if you plan to do some austerity, whatever you're planning to do.
Oh, okay. Yes, yes. Means you think I can do this, and then I can chant Hare Krishna, and everything will be fine. That's what it's talking about. That's the offense to the holy name.
Yeah, I'm just saying that if you want to get purified, not because of the offense that you're going to commit, but because, you know, millions of years of being here in the material world, you get kind of dirty.
That's the point. It's after the fact.
Yeah.
So then that's fine. But even more important is not that we're chanting to get freed from reaction. We will be, because that's already happening anyway.
I'm not talking about chanting. Like extra austerity, some devotees, they fast, and they publish you, or whatever. They're not doing it only because it's devotional service. They want to get purified, so it's mixed. But it's
not
this
No. It's just that the point is why do they, and the point is, why do they want to be purified? Then they're just engaging those things in the Lord's service. They just want to be purified because the reactions of sin and, you know, create so much problem, then that's liberation. Like that. But if it's a matter of they purify themselves so they can render service better, then that's not a problem. But the point is that's going to happen anyway by devotional service. So the actual focus should be on the service, not on becoming freed from the reaction. So in other words, it's not on the fasting, it's on remembering Krishna.
It's so. Just some conditioning to more sleep. More leans towards some, you know, extra austerity or whatever.
It's called mode of goodness.
Okay. Depends on the austerity type.
That's another thing. If they're cutting off their flesh and throwing into the fire, you know, that might be a little tamasic. Until we only hear the demons do that. So. You know, if it's recommended, that would be goodness. If it's not recommended, they make it up. That's passion or ignorance.
From the beginning, they just decide they want to fast on Akadas day for please Krishna. That is goodness.
No, that's devotional.
That's devotional.
She was asking, why is it some devotees can perform austerities easily and some can't? So that'll just depend upon, you know, their physical condition, the modes, things like that. Because someone, basically goodness, you have a vata constitution. Vata constitution can fast because they'll get hungry, but then it'll go away. right? You know, if kapha, they can fast because they don't get hungry, so therefore it never goes away. You know, I mean, it's never a problem. But at the same time, even they fast, they don't lose any weight, right? You know, they just look at things, they get fat, right? But those with vata, they can eat, they'll get fat, they can not eat, they'll lose weight. It's just as easy as they gain. It means that day you can eat something, you know, in the morning notice there's extra weight, but then if you just don't eat, then by later in the day you're back to normal again. You understand? That's vata. Pitta, you get hungry, you stay hungry. You know, it's a problem. Therefore, like Parikit Maharaj, you know, he got thirsty. And so that thirst doesn't go away. So that's why then the whole problem came with Sringi and, you know, his fought like this. So you have that, but then where does that come from? That comes from, you know, Kriya's mentality or whatever like that. That's why Brahmanas, they can do all these things. They may, you know, they fast, they get hungry, but then it goes away. You know, they get really hungry, and then after a little time, it just goes away. Does that make sense? So these are all, you know, this is generic. These are general points, because people have mix, so then it's not always. You know what I'm saying? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. He went back to Swarga with the permission of Brahma and the Brahmanas, who said, "We will have you perform a horse sacrifice." Ritambharaha means one who preserves truth, Vishnu. The offense of committing sin on the strength of atonement is called agha in this verse. The sin of killing a Brahman is called papa. Masculine gender instead of neuter is poetic license. Shiva is the guardian of the northeast direction. Lakshmi resides in the lotuses of Manasarovar. Right, so Shiva is the guardian of that area, so because he went to that area where Shiva's guarding, therefore sin personified couldn't come there. You know, it's not specifically that they were protecting him, they just protect that area. Because Manasarovar is up in the north. It's actually, I think, on the China side, the Tibetan side. You have to get permits to go there. You know, before it was that, you know, how you say, all India, all from India, all, you know, all the way up into Tibet, that was all one place. It's only after the British left, then it became part of China. Otherwise, before, it was always part of the Indian scene. Right? Because before, people just regularly go up to Manasarovar and stuff like that. That makes sense? Yes? No? Maybe? Kind of. Yes, okay. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. O King, when Lord Indra reached the heavenly planets, the saintly Brahmins approached him and properly initiated him into a horse sacrifice, Ashwamedha Yajna, meant to please the Supreme Lord. Footnote 10. In his Bhakti Sandarbha Anucheda 127, Srila Jiva Goswami refers to this verse when he writes, quote, "We may note that ordinary people think one must perform an Ashwamedha Yajna to become genuinely freed from the results of sins. Here someone may ask, why is it by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Indra was able to become freed from the sin of killing the great devotee Vritrasura, who is situated in the platform of pure love for the Lord? It is generally understood that one becomes freed from a great offense only by either experiencing the punishment, that is its proper result, or by receiving the mercy of the Lord of his devotee. Receiving the mercy of the Lord of his devotee.
Oh,
it's proven with Rasa.
No.
Oh, it's instead of, it's supposed to be or. Okay. This objection is answered in the following words. The Supreme Personality of Godhead ordered Indra to kill Vritra, and therefore there is actually no fault on Indra's part. Worshipping the Lord was therefore sufficient atonement for Indra. The Supreme Personality of Godhead ordered Indra to kill Vritra so Vritra could become freed from having a demon's body. Therefore, Indra is not at fault here.
But still, there's something to learn.
don't kill Brahmins. That's standard. Getting more confused. Yes, but we see is because he's ordered, so technically there's no sin there. But Indra himself was involved in the process, not just to please the Lord, but himself. Therefore, there's that reaction. But technically, he could get freed from this because of his worship of the Lord. He's actually under the Lord's order, and then under the protection of Lakshmi, he's worshiping the Lord. Then they'll do the Ashwamedha sacrifice to worship the Lord. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in that way. But then there's this other side, because he was also, as he's interested in, as we saw in previous chapters, he's interested in very much the facility gained from that position. Yeah. So in other words, all these things have to be considered. So this aspect takes care of this part of what happened. Another aspect takes care of another aspect. So all of that together, then you can see it all happening nicely. But depending on which one you focus on, then that part comes out and is explained. Is that so? Yeah. The horse sacrifice performed by the saintly Brahmins relieved Indra of the reactions to all his sins because he worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead in that sacrifice. Right, so it's not because of the horse, it's because of worshipping Krishna. Right? O king, although he had committed a gravely sinful act, that's why we just worship Krishna, leave the horse out of it. Yeah, we don't even have a horse, let alone, yeah. Yeah, and the Vedas don't recommend dogs, so, yeah.
The pony.
The pony. Yeah. O king, although he had committed a gravely sinful act, it was nullified at once by that sacrifice, just as fog is vanquished by the brilliant sunrise. Footnote 11. A similar verse is found in the first chapter of this canto in the pastime of Ajamiya. Only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful reactions with no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.1.15. In his purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada writes, "As for atonement, if one has caught even a slight glimpse of devotional service, all needs to undergo prayaschitta, atonement, are superseded. Therefore, atonement is certainly unnecessary when one has achieved spontaneous love, and above that, attachment with love." Right? So spontaneous love, that means then you're into the advanced platform, and attachment with love, then that will mean come to the point of asakti, or into bhava. Right, because generally that would mean you would see it, maybe a glimmer of it at Nishta, but specifically at Ruchi. Because Ruchi, then there's a taste, so now you naturally spontaneously perform. Does that make sense? Because you also see is there that all these sins go away. So it's mentioned when there's taste, one gives up any interest in material endeavor. Right, initially you're fixed in devotional service, though maybe the interest in these things has not gone away, but you don't engage in them because you're engaged in devotional service. With ruchi, you give up the interest in them because nothing's as nice as the taste of serving the Lord. So, yeah. Even in the stage of abhasha rupa bhakti, a slight glimpse of devotional service, all the reactions of sinful life are uprooted and vanquished. But just a glimpse, abhasha, just some, shadow of it. So then that's there. So, but the point is it's when the sinful reactions, right? The reactions of sinful life are uprooted and vanquished. But it's with taste and attachment, the spontaneous, that's where then the desire for these things go away. Right, so when it says you can commit the holy name will clear more sin than you can commit or even imagine, The point is that the taste may still be there, but it's just by continuing the chanting that will go away. So there's two things. There's the reactions of the sins, and then there's the desire for the sins. Right? So the reactions will go away just by Nama Bas. But actually, the desire for them, that goes away with pure chanting. Because then you have a taste for the holy. So naturally, you're not interested in these things. So they just go away. Right? So there's that negative and there's the positive. So by chanting, you develop a taste for the name. So you develop a taste in devotional service for serving Krishna. And at the same time, then your one is purified, all the sinful reactions go, all these different things. Much of the time we focus on the external point, the secondary, but actually the primary is the main point. Because if you focus on developing love for Krishna, these things are going on automatically. That's why you don't have to worry about it. So that's why then for prayaschitta, you don't do anything outside of devotional service. So you want to do a serious fast and all that, do it on Janmashtami. You got to fast till midnight anyway. Sorry? Bhima Ekadasi, like this. You don't just... Today's Tuesday, so you fast. That kind of stuff, then the super soul gets disturbed because it's not recommended. You know, you follow. So in other words, you're doing devotional service. You're automatically being austere and being purified. So you don't have to separately endeavor. That's why it says devotees don't have to separately endeavor for prayaschitta. They just engage in devotional service. Sorry? We're almost done. Okay. And then that was 11. Right? King Indra was favored by Marichi and other great sages. They performed the sacrifice just according to the rules and regulations, worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul, the original person. Thus, Indra gained his exalted position, was again honored by everyone. In this very great narrative, there is glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. There are statements about the exaltedness of devotional service. There are descriptions of devotees like Indra and Vritrasura. And there are statements about King Indra's release from sinful life and about his victory in fighting the demons. By understanding this incident, one is relieved from all sinful reactions. Therefore, the learned are always advised to read this narration. If one does so, one will become expert in the activities of the senses. His opulence will increase, and his reputation will become widespread. One will also be relieved of all sinful reactions. He will conquer all his enemies, and the duration of his life will increase. Because this narration is auspicious in all respects, learned scholars regularly hear and repeat it on every festival day. So that's why you see this story of Vritrasura is in the Bhagavatam and also in other Vedic literatures. Right? And the other day someone was mentioning it's in the Rig Veda or something like that. They were very concerned that it was different. Right?
Well, in some chapters we do have this, and in some we don't.
Because this ends the whole story of Vritrasura. So then, in other words, there will be the specific chapter, but then there's also a particular narration that's going on. So this was the narration about Vritrasura. So this ends the Vritrasura pastime.
But why he offered all this, you need to call sinful reactions, control this and
it's just what happens anyway.
Just to encourage it?
If one's encouraged by these things, then yes. Or if one just sees, okay, then, you know, the Lord must be pleased. Otherwise, why would all these things happen? So one could either be encouraged by it must be pleasing to the Lord, or by, okay, this is pious, this is the right thing to do, or by, wow, look at all the benefits. You know, at least by something we should be encouraged. In other words, if we're encouraged by the pastimes of Vritrasura, the great devotee, then that's a great benefit to us. So, Chapter 14, King Chitraketu's Lamentation, Pratigya. O great sage, among many millions who are liberated and perfect in knowledge of liberation, one may be a devotee of Lord Narayana or Krishna. Such devotees who are fully peaceful are extremely rare. The particular this chapter is taken from verse 5. Right? So that's a very famous verse. Chapter 14 summarizes questions and answers. Maharaj Parikit asked Sukadeva Goswami question 15 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Question 15, Srimad Bhagavatam 6:14, 1-2, and 6-7. King Parikit inquired from Sukadeva Goswami, O learned Brahmana, demons are generally sinful, being obsessed with the mode of passion and ignorance. How then could Vritrasura have attained such exalted love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana? Demigods situated in the mode of goodness and great saints, cleansed of the dirt of material enjoyment, hardly ever render pure devotional service at the lotus feet of Mukunda. Therefore, how could Vritrasura have become such a great devotee? Vritrasura was situated in the blazing fire of battle and was an infamous sinful demon who always engaged in giving troubles and anxieties to others. How could such a demon become so greatly Krishna conscious? My dear Lord, Sukadeva Goswami, although Vritrasura was a sinful demon, he showed the prowess of a most exalted Kshatriya and satisfied Lord Indra in battle. How could such a demon be a great devotee of Lord Krishna? These contradictions have caused me great doubt, and they have made me eager to hear of this from you. Right? So here it's a doubt. It means intellectually he can't put them together. He's heard some instructions, he's heard other instructions, seen examples. He can't. There's no misgiving here. You know. So that's why he says he's turned to him to hear how all this will work out. His misgivings, generally we either don't turn to somebody or we turn to them just to express why we have the misgivings, not to actually get rid of them. Right? So doubt means I don't understand it, please, you know, work it out. Yes? The answer to this question is given throughout the rest of this chapter, as well as throughout the next three chapters. The question is actually, so this is a question that starts a new conversation, a new dialogue, right? So now it's going to be about how Vritrasura became such a great devotee. Before it was about Vritrasura, about Indra and his position and that, so it's about that. And before that, right, you know what I'm saying, it's going through. So Indra lost his position because of, you know, behaving badly with Brihaspati. Then that started a whole chain reaction, then he got Vishwarup, then he got a problem there, then he gets Vritrasura, then, you know, there's problems there. But then, so that ends that. That discussion is over. But now it's how is Vritrasura in such a position? Does that make sense? So that's the new conversation. So today is Thursday, right? So then tomorrow we'll discuss, get into Chitraketa. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.